Hello and welcome to Keysight Automotive Tech Talk. My name is Hui Ye, an e-mobility advocate with Keysight. We're aimed to enable better electric vehicles and an even better planet to bring tech innovations. To help us understand better on the importance of proper testing at the cell, module and pack level to enable better electric vehicles, I've invited Stefan Drivko, who is our solutions marketing specialist for our battery test business out of Bochum in Germany. Hello, Stefan. How are you today?
Hello, Ying. I'm very fine. I hope you as well. thanks for having me here. Yes, I'm really looking forward for our nice exchange today.
Yes, I'm looking forward to learning more from you. And just to start it off, we often hear about how we need different use cases for battery testing at the cell, module, and pack levels. So from the battery developers and manufacturers' point of view, how important do you think it is to plan way ahead for this entire progression, right? You're talking about a single lithium ion cell all the way to when it's assembled into a battery module and then into the packs that go into the EV. Do you need the end-to-end plan strategy, or do you think oftentimes the testing at the module and pack levels are actually left to the automotive car makers?
I think you cannot say this very defined for everybody. It's quite flexible, I would say. When we come to manufacturers, they manufacturers usually the cells. They might may have some research and development, but quite often this is done by other companies and not for the manufacturer itself, or at least not in a big scale. And then we as you mentioned the automotive OEMs, so we see huge OEMs, global OEMs who have a huge research and development centers for cells, to take the cell chemistry and everything, and further on for module and pack. But we see also suppliers of OEMs who already supply modules and sometimes even packs. So this is very different, and I would say it's also depending a bit on the size of the OEM. I could imagine more smaller OEMs and maybe also and not really startups, but who's turning into this booming business quite frequently, and not like the well-known OEMs. They might have not the resources to make everything by their own, and they sure ask also suppliers here for support. And so it's very mixed. So we see either the OEMs who test everything from cell module pack, and even give kind of cell chemistry recipe to manufacturers to get exactly what they want, and we see OEMs who buy components, let's say battery components or the modules, to make their pack at the end. So and what we did not have mentioned here right now, we have a lot of test houses, so test as a service, where a lot of steps can be outsourced from the companies to say, okay, please make this test for us, or help us to make this test, because we don't have the resources or capabilities in our laboratories. So we see growing need of laboratories, and it means that not everybody has the capabilities to really test everything what they would like to do. So we see also growing test houses a lot.
Thank you for sharing your insight. So could you take us through, some of the more important tests that must be run at the battery cell, module, and pack levels? Exactly what are developers looking for? And is it hugely different from what manufacturers might be looking for at the mass production level?
Yeah, like I already said, that we see, or let's say in manufacturing, we see less need of testing, or less compared with research, because mainly when it comes to mass production and everybody talking about gigafactories, we see the production, and the biggest concern or the biggest test need in production for sure is the quality assurance. So we, for example, there's a measurement, safe discharge measurement, and this helps to define, the safe discharge of the lithium ion cell. This defines the quality, and it's called grading, and battery cells are categorized in different grades. So at the end, when you want to assemble a module or a pack, you would like to have as homogeneous as possible the cells from the discharge behavior, because everything which is not balanced inside the pack and the battery pack, the battery management system needs to balance this. And this at the end has an impact on the performance and the lifetime of the battery. So there's a need of after production to have this grading to check to check the quality of the batteries and select them that you have as similar as possible batteries before you put them into a module or a pack. This is a very important step in the manufacturing, but this is more quality assurance than research. If we go to research and developing of batteries, we have an incredible amount of tests, different lengths. We have shortly just charge and discharge tests for battery cells, which might be very quick, but we can also have lifetime tests where you make this 1,000 times charge and discharge. So there are tests who can run for weeks or maybe even longer. Really depends on what you want to test.
But isn't that going to take a long time? So are there new test methods that can speed up that process?
But this lifetime tests are very long. So it's definitely, these are tests who are running over, like I said, over weeks or even months, and always charging, discharging. And these are, for example, tests companies like to outsource to test houses because the requirements to this test are not low, but they are very standard and easy to do by a third-party company. This is the difference to own research. If a company make a new texture or new chemicals testing in the battery cell, then for sure they would like to make the research by their own to keep it maybe also as a kind of secret recipe for their own battery. For example, for battery cells, we have also the electrochemical impedance spectroscopy, a very difficult word. But here we measure in the cells the changing within the cells, and this can give you a picture of the inside of the cell without being too technical here. But you could imagine you can also cut the cell and have a look inside to investigate, or you use the spectroscopy to have an understanding what changed inside the cells while using it, while charging, discharging, without destroying the cell actually. So this is a very interesting test, which is done quite often.
That's very interesting. So if you move on to the battery module level, so you're saying that any single cell which is not performing very well, it might degrade the whole performance of the battery module. Is that right?
Exactly, yes. As you can say, the weakest part of the chain.
It's the weakest link.
Yeah, so in best case, all cells, while driving your car, is discharging on the same level, same speed, and so the performance is on one level. If this is not there because you have a weak cell or maybe a defect cell, then you need to balance this, that is as homogeneous as possible. This means you need the effort for this balancing, and this is for sure has an effect on your performance.
Every electric car, you're talking about thousands of lithium ion cells, for example. It's a whole lot of testing, right, on and grading of the different cell types and cell characterizing them.
Exactly. This grading process, this usually it's implemented in the manufacturing process, mm-hmm. and there are methods to speed this up. So there, this especially the safe discharge measurement process can take long, but there are methods. Also from Keysight, which makes it very fast, very short, and save them a lot of time. So I would say this at the end is well done. So this can be handled very nicely. In the pack at the end, yeah, hard to say. You can have a defect cell. I guess everybody knows everything can be have a defect after a time, and yes, for sure batteries. But nobody wants that his electric vehicle is stop working or is not driving as expected after a very short time. So testing is so essential to ensure the quality and improve the acceptance. So we're still at the beginning of electric mobility and we need the acceptance. We see some countries where let's say a bit forward than the others. We see a lot of regulations of governments to push electric vehicles. But at the end, also the people need to accept this. And this comes by reliability, longer driving range, fast charging, even we're not talking about charging today, but also the fast charging and the charging infrastructure.
And talking about which, like, different countries with different rate of development, right? So for example, I'm based in Singapore, and we are just about starting this whole movement of electrifying the transport system for the individuals, right? So whereas in Germany, where you are, it's probably much more advanced in that case, that you probably see a lot more electric vehicles on the road versus here, where we can hardly see any. It's just maybe a handful. So there's this whole worry about, also here, we hear from France, for example, if the weather is too hot, you know, will it affect the battery performance? And whether in, for example, in Germany in winter, when it comes to temperature, differing environmental pressures, does it affect the cell performance all the way to the pack level? And can you simulate this sort of environments in the lab so that you are able to handle all sorts of markets with different climates?
Definitely, yes. This is a battery is discharging faster if the temperature is lower. So this, and if the temperature is too hot, there is a risk that the cell get a defect or overheat, and at the end it even can burn. This is the worst case can happen, and this is very, very seldom. But in very hot temperatures or temperature conditions, it could happen. But that's why it's important that when we come to the battery pack, that this is tested. And also our battery is cooled or heated. So best case is a stable temperature of our battery pack for the best performance. And to ensure that there's no defects or no accidents or anything. And it's not only the climate performance. So if we talk about this, we always know the standards to measure the range of cars, this WLTP standard. So where there's a defined driving profile that you can put into your data sheet of your car, my car can run with one full battery, I don't know, 400, 500, 600 kilometers. Right. But this is defined driving profile, and this might be not related to the real profile of the driver. So if you consider you have a small city car, which might be super useful in Singapore, where you're from, or you live in a more rural area, and you have a sports car, or a very exclusive sports car, for example, the driving behavior of the driver might be very different. And this means also the uses of the battery might be very different. This needs also to be considered. So not only the conditions which might be handled climate conditions by the battery management system inside the car, but also the driving profile is quite important for the manufacturers.
Really interesting. So that gives me this thought that perhaps in the future, you're going to have this AI on board as well to read the driver behavior. And then the BMS will adjust the battery management accordingly to the way that you're driving.
We see similar already that if you're you take your car and you accelerate to the maximum speed, or you just start driving as fast as possible. Then after a few times, if you make this few times after each other directly, that the battery the performance is settled down or is limited, that you don't overheat the battery. So already now the battery management system needs to see if the usage of the battery is going to a limit, and it needs to interact to limit the performance as well, so to provide that nothing happened with the battery. We see this already now, and it will be, I'm pretty sure, more and more if the usage of cars are more.
It's amazing. So meaning that the BMS is also evolving together with this whole environment of people expecting longer ranges, different driving styles, different climates, different budget requirements. So there's a whole lot of things to juggle for the battery development market, right? So I'm just wondering, in the longer term, there is of course a lot of investment to set up a battery development test lab, for example. We are talking about a lot of upfront investment, but you want to have this investment last at least 5, 10, 15 years down to grow concurrently with this evolving electric vehicle market. So do you think the battery developers are well equipped to ride out this change over the next decade or even longer?
Yeah, also here I would say we see very different, but it's also related when they start or when they did start. So we have, for example, customers investigating or researching for many, many years already, they have already some hardware where they say, okay, we need to replace because we see it's not making the next 5 or 10 years because our test requirements are too high for the current hardware. So they need to renew their hardware, their battery laboratories, and they are doing this. If you have small startups, for example, which are started the last 2, 3, 5 years, they might be okay for the near future. And if you invest now, for sure you have to, yeah, I would say you have to choose a good supplier. Have to take care that the supplier offers flexible solutions. So I recommend to check this before somebody decide for a new laboratory, that there is a flexibility, a modular system to extend the test capabilities, that is ensure that this company is continuously working on the software. So far we didn't really talk about the software, which is so important for all the tests, that the company continues developing software, improving in software, and reacting on new test needs on the market. Whoever wants to test, that they really search or find a partner who's experienced, and really say, okay, this is what you might need now, but please consider it might change in 5 years. And you don't want to buy a whole new laboratory. As you said, the investments are huge, it's costly, and then consider that there might changes, and consider that you have flexibilities if you build a lab now.
So I can kind of like summarize it, like you have to see at which stage of the development you're in, for example, the developer, right? And then budget, of course, the size of the lab that you are setting up, and also consider longevity. So software, as you mentioned, is an important part of ensuring that your upfront investment is going to have that longevity to take you through the different market cycles. Is that right to say that, Stefan?
Yeah, exactly. So you need to be open what might change on the market. So the test requirements and we, for example, one more example, we see increasing voltages usage for testing. So you see test systems with lower voltage in the past, and now we see systems up to 1,500 voltage for testing, which might be not needed now. Honestly, I don't think nobody tests with this voltage right now, maybe in very few cases, but who knows, maybe in 2, 3, 4, 5 years, this might be very important to have. You should not limit your chooses and your purchases right now, and be open for flexibility.
So I guess the hardware should be scalable as well for future needs. Yeah, that's a good thought to leave us with. So thank you, Stefan. I think we kind of covered quite a bit today on the importance of looking at different aspects of this cell module and pack level. And there's so many use cases, and we kind of just skim across the surface, right? So I really appreciate your time and sharing today. Is there anything else that you would like to leave us with, some important thoughts about battery testing and why it's going to enable a better fleet of future electric vehicles?
I have maybe one comment to the acceptance of electric vehicles. So yeah. I think almost everybody in the world is talking about electric vehicle, and people are hesitating. How can I charge? Where I charge? How is my driving range? And this is a big topic that people say, ooh, I would
to
wish...
To buy or not to buy?
Not to buy or not to buy, exactly. I would recommend for everybody to step a moment back and think about the usage of your car today, of your normal combustion engine, how many kilometers you really make a day. And we'll find out if a car might make 400 or 500 kilometers with one charge of a battery might be sufficient for almost every situation in your daily life. Maybe not if you're a sales rep and you cross the country every day, for sure not. And we did not talk about commercial vehicles right now here, but for your daily usage, I really have the feeling if you really would consider what is really our need for driving, the cars which are on the market right now with a range of 400 kilometers might be super effective and enough already if the charging infrastructure is sufficient. This don't want to put this only on the infrastructure. You can charge at home, you can charge public, but this would also help for a more sustainable future, if we would consider, I don't need a car who runs 900 kilometers with one battery. How often do I make a trip like this? When I talk about Germany, I would say, from my personal experience, a driving range of 400 kilometers is sufficient. This might be not valid for every other country, but I guess, for example, if I consider Singapore, you might not make it more than 400 kilometers in one trip.
Yeah, the power charge will last me for 3 to 4 weeks. Yeah.
For example, I think testing is very important and improving the batteries to have this acceptance as well. But I think also there's the opposite side. So we as a consumer and user of the electric vehicle, that there are already pretty good models on the market. Now we're working on lower the pricing, I would say. And still the battery make a huge amount of the cost of the electric vehicle. And only by testing, or mainly by testing, we can find cheaper solutions. And mass production of batteries will also help to lower the cost, hopefully, and then make it affordable for the wide mass of people to move to this sustainable solution of driving. And we get one step more far away from fossil fuel.
I think, yeah, I'm glad we are all on this together, one step at a time. And it's actually the whole supply chain, from the way the ores are mined to how it's designed, and eventually to even battery second life, how are you going to repurpose the used battery maybe 10 years down the road. So a lot of things to consider, a lot of interesting technologies that would be helpful. So I really hope to have you back on the show again to share more insights, Stefan. So thank you so much once again. Yeah.
Thanks a lot for the invitation. Anytime. Just invite me. I will be there.